This hour of the Jason Rant Show is brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
Well, the cat's out of the bag. We can add two more suspicious cat deaths to the list of Look, I'm just saying, it's the perfect animal to start on. Look, me. Ow, I hurt myself.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that was good. Boo. Shut up. That was a good one. So we've got two more suspicious cat deaths in Thurston County. We're now presuming that this is somehow tied to the serial cat killer that we have yet to find. You'll recall last year, there were well over a dozen cats that were murdered. Just last week, we talked about five suspicious cat deaths in the city of Everett. And now the Olympian is reporting that yesterday morning, a cat was found cut in half on 20th Avenue Southwest near Allen Road Southeast in Olympia. Thurston County Animal Services Officer Erica Johnson called the cat's death suspicious, but said that it appeared a little bit different than last year's spat of cat killing. So that is the only quote-unquote good news, I suppose, in all of this. I wouldn't call this good, but it's better news, assuming that this had... Although it could, I suppose, mean that there's another serial cat killer. Like, this is a copycat cat killer.
Okay,
that was not a pun. No, that was not a pun. I don't know how else to say a copycat.
Right, that's what it is.
It's exactly what it is. That was not meant to be a pun.
Treat it seriously.
Jeremy Stockard owned one of the cats that was murdered. Tells the Olympian that the cat killer has little regard for the families that he's affecting. And yes, we believe it's a he because he, I mean, that, you know, it's not a woman, right? It's a he. It's a he.
You know, it'd probably be nice if it was a woman.
No, I mean, I wouldn't use the word nice, but it would sort of cut against the trend here of, you know, animal torturers, I suppose, but it's probably a man.
They took the spine, choked it.
Is the music necessary, the Olympian? Because they're the one, you didn't put that. It sounds sad. Almost like a really bad Dateline or Deadline NBC episode.
Jason, there are dead cats.
No,
and
I know.
You couldn't be happier about it.
No, I don't like cats, but I don't want to see them dead.
And they took the spine, choked it, smashed its head or something like that. The amount of harm that he's done to families. You know, it is just an animal, but a lot of those animals are family members, and it's sick.
So in addition to that, another cat was found dead on August 7th that we're just now hearing about. That cat was cut open and its organs were removed. That according to Lacey Police Sergeant Jamie Newcomb. Erica Johnson is a Thurston County Animal Control Cruelty Investigator, which sounds like the most depressing job in the history of depressing jobs. She says that this string of cat murders stands out.
This has been the worst case of serial animal mutilation in my career. And I've been doing this a long time.
Well, how long? I mean, a long time is relative. I mean, is it in dog years and cat years?
Really?
Well, are there cat years? They're dog years. 1 year is like 7 years to them.
Go ahead and add cat to that Venn diagram. They don't like you either. Do we have any room? Do we have any room to fit another circle?
Two other dead cats were found in Olympia and near Lacey back in June and July. They were investigated, though officials were not able to determine what killed them. Ben Elkins is the Thurston County Sheriff's detective. Imagine being a detective being put on this. Tells Cairo 7 TV that it's way more serious than some people originally thought.
This person is going to get caught. We will catch you. A lot of people think, you know, unfortunately, it's just a cat. Well, it's not just a cat.
It is also just a cat.
But
I don't want it
to more. Leads to more. That's the danger of it all.
I do wonder, and again, I will certainly listen to the experts in all of this. I do wonder if we're putting ourselves in a position where now every single time a cat is found dead, we're just going to assume that it's part of this cat serial killer. Like, we're creating a narrative, and maybe at some point, here's what's going to happen. There's very likely one person who's responsible for a string of these, and at some point either will stop or get caught, right? Something will happen. Maybe a cat will kill him, and that would be some
sweet justice.
But there's going to be a time, like a decade from today, that there's going to become a lore of that. Remember that one time in 2018 and 2019 when hundreds of thousands of cats were killed? It's going to become one of those stories of like, okay, no, it was like 13 or 14. It's bad. We don't want that. But not every cat that dies was killed by a serial killer.
Yeah. I'm almost positive that's going to happen.
Okay. In my purview as a talk show host, You didn't get purr, purr.
Oh.
Oh,
hey,
shut
that's bad. You shouldn't joke about that.
Just push the button.
What's trending? Stuck in traffic.
So that red light camera system at the three major intersections in Kent, we now can tell you, according to the Kent Reporter, that during the first 6 weeks of the program, the warning period, they actually found 3,867 violators. Now tell me how this is about saving lives and not necessarily about cashing in those tickets of $136. We're told all the time that this is all about safety. This has nothing to do with the financial aspect to it. But let's be clear. If this was just about safety, let us assume those 3,867 drivers that got caught, I'm assuming we don't have 3,867 crashes or anything in the last couple months, yeah? Because I feel like that would kind of be a big deal. These are people who just violated the law. They should be punished, no doubt. But if this was about saving lives, we would put a cop out at those intersections. We would do something a little bit more than just putting up these red light cameras. Red light camera tickets don't go on driver records, so there's no impact on the insurance rates. This is not the incentive that people think it is. It is just about getting money from you. Kent will use the revenue from these cameras to pay for the body cameras of the 105 cops in the Kent PD. I'm glad they're doing it. It's a very good use of the money, but can we just be honest that this is just about getting the money and stop this lie that it's about protecting people, that it's about safety? It's not about safety. It's not about safety. If we were to find out that there were 3,867 accidents, people died, do you think they would just sit back and just say, oh, well, let's just keep that light out there, the red light camera? Wouldn't they go in and have someone actually handling the traffic at those intersections? Just stop. And by the way, let's say they repeat that. They go and get another, because during the 3,800 tickets, this was just during their warning period. So all people were doing were getting little letters that say, hey, we caught you this time, dummy. Don't do it again or you're going to get a ticket. Had that actually delivered the $136 ticket to everybody who ran a red light, they would have made almost $525,000 in 6 weeks if each one of them got tickets. They're looking at that right now in the city of Kent. They're saying, ooh, I want that money. That's what this is about.
You know what they should ticket? People who are in the far right-hand lane going straight instead of turning right at a red light. And I'm stuck behind these people. I want to turn right. But that person, he has two lanes to the left. They could get over.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm with you on that one. And I think we should be ticketing people who don't know how to do the zipper merge on freeways. Do that.
Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of things that we can go ahead. But at least you're acknowledging the only reason you want to ticket that person for camping out in the right lane when you could be making a right turn is because it's an inconvenience. It's a nuisance to you. And I totally get it. It's 100% a nuisance. This is how disingenuous they're being here. There'd be the equivalent of that happening, saying, oh, we're doing that to save lives. Because you know what? Stress on producer Tom, man, it gets to him. And at some point, it's gonna create a situation in which it's untenable. He's going to die at a younger age because of all that stress. He can get a heart attack. We're just doing it to save lives. No, it's not. You're doing it to cash the check. And again, I do not mind if you were to be honest and tell us we are only doing this because we want more revenue. Because at least at that point, I can say, you know what? They want more revenue. I would rather them not tax me, who's not a driver, who's not breaking any law. Go ahead and basically do a penalty against people who are knowingly breaking laws. At least you've got a bad guy there that you can give a little bit of a hit to rather than just spread it all around. It bothers me when we lie about these things. Because, look, you're not this holier-than-thou hero who's saving lives of people who are getting into these serious accidents. If you're having serious accidents in the city of Kent at these intersections, then you owe all of us a little bit more than simply a red light camera. Let's give out tickets for being disingenuous. Yeah, I'm the one who judges.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
No, it's not. I can tell when people are being disingenuous.
Really?
Yeah. How about this? Do you like your job?
Yeah.
That's disingenuous.
All right. Yeah, you got me. All right.
See?
Yeah.
Just saying. Join us on Facebook, would you? Facebook.com/JasonRantsShow. Go there now. Hit the follow button. Hit the like button. Go behind the scenes of the show and participate in some conversations about what it is we're talking about here. Facebook.com/JasonRantsShow. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
So normally I'd say 24 hours of lacrosse is little tiring, maybe a little bit too much lacrosse, but in the case of an event that's happening this Saturday in Everett, I'd say it's pretty damn inspiring. Shootout for Soldiers is a 24-hour lacrosse event with a mission to use lacrosse as a platform to support American veterans. Registration is open right now at shootoutforsoldiers.com. The organizer of the event in Everett is Barrett Crane, and he joins me. Barrett, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely, Jason. Thank you so much for helping us spread the word about this great effort.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how big the event is, so tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the Shootout for Soldiers is a national organization that has over 13 events around the country. They start on the East Coast in Baltimore, and they just work all the way across. And we are one of the last events of the summer, so we're really excited to help bring the effort home this year. Mm-hmm. But the organization has been earning, over the last several years, millions and millions of dollars for veteran organizations. So we have national, and each local charity has local events. And we've got lacrosse teams all over the area just rallying to support a great cause, which is primarily supporting our veterans in a variety of capacity.
So how does the lacrosse event work exactly? Are we just we're creating teams and we're raising money?
Yeah, absolutely. So similar to a kind of walkathon sort of event, that's kind of the energy behind it, where we have a community of lacrosse players, which is a small, tight-knit community. Not mm-hmm. as many people know about lacrosse, especially on the West Coast, than they do in other parts of the country, but it's an amazing sport. The community has chosen this event as an opportunity to give back to veterans. And so what they do is they form teams. So you'll have one individual kind of sponsor a team, and we've got over 33 teams now sponsored for our local Seattle event. And then we recruit players. And so players that we either know from spring season, or maybe they're during the normal season, they're somebody that we know that's on a different team, or somebody we know through one of our club teams, we invite them to join us. And by joining us, what they're doing is they're agreeing to play with us on the their game for that 24-hour window, but they're also agreeing to help raise money for veterans as part of being on this team. So each team has a goal, minimum goal of about $750 mm-hmm. as a target to raise. But most of the teams have exceeded that amount by a significant nice. Margin. And so it's a great opportunity to raise money.
So if anyone wants to help, if they want to attend, if they want to actually join their own team, shootoutforsoldiers.com. Take us through where the money actually goes, because when we talk about helping American veterans, obviously that can mean a whole host of things.
Yes, absolutely. So 30% of the funds go to our local charities, and we have two local organizations. The rest of the money goes to support four national charities, but I'd love to which are all veteran charities. So these all directly support veteran causes. But I'd like to highlight what we're doing with our local charity partners. So some of your listeners may be aware of an organization for called Stand Down Seattle. So the Stand Down organization is an organization that really is a consolidates a wide range of other benefits for veterans. And when they have an event, they primarily service the homeless veteran mm-hmm. population. They bring everything from dental care and hygiene supporters like free haircuts. They feed veterans, but they also bring in really vital services. They partner with Health and Human Services and the city and county resources. And they make sure that our veterans in one place have all the resources they need to match their needs. It's a great event. One of the challenges our homeless veterans find is that there are a lot of services and resources for them, but those services and resources are often hard to reach
yeah.
if you're homeless and don't have transportation. And so bringing everything to one place where you can show up and have access to so many resources is a huge benefit for these veterans. The second local charity is Brigadoon Service Dogs out of Bellingham, Washington. And so this organization is an amazing organization that that trains service dogs. They do support a variety of both veteran and other service-oriented individuals, so policemen, firemen. Mm-hmm. But they train and develop and make sure that if there's a need for a service dog, then they will find a way to make that service dog available. So two great local resources that have a significant portion of anything that we earn this week.
I'm super excited for this. Again, it's shootoutforsoldiers.com if you want to register, if you want to learn more. Just real quickly, what got you involved?
Well, I'm a passionate supporter of lacrosse. I grew up in Houston, Texas, and lacrosse was very new when I was in high school in the 80s. And so I played a couple of years, just enough to get the bug. And so when I had kids, then that was something that I wanted them to experience. So I've enjoyed lacrosse as a coach primarily, coaching youth lacrosse in Everett for 5 years, and then continuing to support as the president of the Everett Lacrosse Club for a number of years. But I was also a veteran. I served in the U.S. Navy as a diver for 5 years before, you know, leaving and going on to another career. But so I'm very passionate about both causes. And so this is a great opportunity for me to bring those passions together and to support both the lacrosse community, but primarily the veterans in our area.
Yeah, it's a fantastic organization. Thank you for your service, but also thank you for what you're doing here to promote this event. Again, it's a 24-hour lacrosse event. Hopefully you didn't get the who gets like the 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. spot?
Oy. Well, I tell you, that's tricky because we do go a full 24 hours. Yeah. So our first game will start at 12 noon, and then our last game will start at 11 a.m. on Sunday. So this weekend, we are going all night at Cash Park in Everett. It's kind of under the shadow of, you know, Boeing's large facility there, right off the Mukilteo Speedway. And we will be going all night. We primarily push those middle-of-the-night games to our adult teams and our high school teams. And so we've got several high school teams that are playing actually multiple games. So they might have like an 11 p.m. and a 1 a.m. or a 2 a.m. and a 5 a.m. And so, you know, a lot of these guys are really excited, right? You don't normally get to play lacrosse at 3 in the morning. And so it's kind of a cool deal.
It makes it even cooler because it's for a really good cause. Again, shootoutforsoldiers.com. Spell it all out. Shootoutforsoldiers.com. Barrett is the organizer of the event. Good luck this Saturday. Hopefully we can throw some extra lacrosse players your way. And it sounds like an amazing event. People can just show up and watch. There's going to be food. There's going to be some entertainment there as well. Barrett, thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Jason. Thanks for helping to get a spotlight on this great event. And we're excited to see it grow.
Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. It means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. What's the Big Local? It is a segment where we ignore the city of Seattle and instead focus our attention on the communities you live in and care about most, because frankly, the media already is hyper-focused on Seattle. And we start in Vancouver, where this is a much bigger story than it might appear to be. A lesbian couple there is part of a lawsuit against YouTube on the basis of, hey, you guys are discriminating against us because we're part of the LGBTQ community.
Of course, we feel like we're being targeted specifically for our sexuality.
Bria Cam and Chrissy Chambers of Vancouver are among 8 YouTubers suing the website, and on top of that, they're suing the parent company, Google, because they argue that they're changing algorithms and they're demonetizing them based on the content of their feed.
YouTube is removing our thumbnails. They are not sending our video out to our subscribers. They are unsubscribing people.
Now, this isn't just like a couple that has like 4 or 5 YouTube followers. This is a couple whose channel has 850,000 followers. They have in total over 400 million views. But now, because of the change in the algorithm, they argue, their monthly income has dropped from $3,500 to $500.
It was very apparent to us because we were bringing in about 5 million views per month and we're making $3,500. And now, today, we are bringing in 5 million views a month and we're making $500.
That is insane. This is being done on purpose. Now, as part of the lawsuit, attorneys are saying, hey, you guys are going after us and rejecting our ads, simply saying that it's violating any sort of sexuality content, right? This whole idea that you can't be too graphic, we hear these things all in all, but they're like, our stuff isn't sexually graphic at all. In a statement to Cairo 7 TV, whom those individuals spoke to, a YouTube spokesperson says their policies have no notion of sexual orientation and their system does not restrict or demonetize videos based on those factors. And yet, it's so weird. It's happening. Now, when conservatives were warning about this going down, and conservatives said this over and over and over and over again, and really, we said this on the show many times. Imagine the power to censor in the hands of your worst enemy. It's the same exact concept. There were conservatives out there, from Steven Crowder to Dennis Prager, who were saying they are taking our monetization away. David Rubin said this point. They're doing that because they don't like our content, and there are bad faith actors out there who are reporting the content, and it's going through some algorithm, and it's assuming that what it is we're talking about is against some sort of policy. When you take it out of context, yeah, I guess it is against some policies, but when you look at it in context, it is not. It doesn't matter. You're going after us, and we said they're going to go after you next. The same groups out there who think that this is funny and this is a good idea, they're coming for you next. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happens. They came for them next. So now they're going after conservative content. You'll recall, this is how ridiculous their decision-making is and how arbitrary it is. They went after PragerU videos, Prager University. One video was about the Bible. And in it, they mentioned violence as part of the thou shalt not kill. It got taken down for violating their policy on violent conduct and violent content. That's absolutely ridiculous. And now they're going to do the exact same thing simply because you have two gay people on a channel talking about things related to the LGBTQ community. This is wrong. And we've said it over and over and over again. Unless they address these issues, they're basically begging the federal government to step in and decide that they're going to regulate the internet in a way that I don't want it regulated. I do not want the internet or the internet to be regulated by the federal government at all. Don't want that. I believe that these are private companies. However, they're yielding more and more and more power. And now they're censoring content that should not otherwise be censored by any reasonable definition. And they're doing it in an arbitrary way, it seems, they say. But I think this is all targeted. And it would be pretty cool to have a local Washingtonian couple be part of the takedown of these horrible policies from YouTube. Meanwhile, speaking of horrible, dozens of roosters and hens were seized from a vacant lot in Tukwila. The lot's owner, Romeo Rivera, he's been charged because investigators believe that the birds were being prepped for international cockfighting rings.
They're being mutilated by each other.
Oh my gosh. So that's a worker with Posado Safe Haven. It's a nonprofit that works for animals here in Washington State. And they said in this particular disturbing case, someone was putting blades on the roosters.
And so the animal's natural behavior is used, but now there's a blade. So they're cutting each other up.
Court documents obtained by Cairo 7 TV say Rivera confessed to breeding and selling the birds for fighting. He's 75 years old. He wouldn't speak on camera with Cairo 7 TV's Amy Clancy, but he said that they were just raising the chickens and made a point of, yes, it's illegal in the United States, the cockfighting, but in Philippines, where he's from, it's totally cool there. And so I wonder if that's part of the argument that he would make in court of like, oh, I didn't, you know, it's for legal purposes overseas. He's expected to appear in court on Thursday of next week. They found and seized hundreds of birds. And these stings that have been going on, and I don't think people realize, apparently this is happening a lot in this area. They've had stings in Thurston County and Kitsap County. Undercover investigators say that this is going on and we don't even realize it. This is something I definitely don't understand. Beyond, I mean, I get from like a people who hate dogs having them fight, like there's something you could see, right? With roosters, you can't really see anything. You're just the flapping of the wind. But, I mean, they're such small animals. It just seems especially disturbing when now you're adding, like, literal weapons to their beaks or what? Like, what
well,
they
don't
doing?
Need to do that. Roosters have these talons on the insides of their legs, and they'll jump up, and then they'll kind of, you know, have you ever seen, like, rock climbing where they have he has the two, whatever they're called, sharp things that stick into the rocks, and they okay. go, boom, with both arms in the rock in order to get, you know, stability.
You're talking That's with very what... specific details of what goes on at cockfighting events. Where were you last Saturday?
Last
were you
Saturday?
In Tukwila?
What was last? Was that the what? 7th?
You know, it was just a few days ago. What were you doing?
Oh, right. Yeah, no. Yeah, I went out. I hung out with some friends. And
were you around a rooster fight?
A rooster fight.
Yes.
I don't even know what that means.
It means roosters fighting. Was there any fighting involved in whatever it is you did on Saturday in Tukwila?
I mean, there were a heated exchange. But
of animals? Between animals?
What do you know? What do you
know?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
No, Jason, what's the next story? What are we on? What are we going here? Oh, yeah. But that looks like a good one. You want to do number?
Oh, I mean, fine, but now you do realize everyone thinks you've been going to cockfighting rings for the last year.
That's absurd. I would never watch dogs fight.
Meanwhile, in Tacoma, they might ban tents from their parks, all to make it safer for people.
And what the police have told us is the walls, without the visibility, we can't see what's going on in those tents.
So that's Hunter George. He's with Metro Parks. He's the director of communications, talking with Cairo 7 TV. And he says city managers say the homeless are congregating in parks throughout Tacoma. It's happening during the day. They're setting up tents. And it's making a lot of people like Elizabeth feel uncomfortable.
I prefer that they don't, yeah. It makes me feel a little, I don't know, less safe when I come here.
So folks are telling Cairo 7 TV, and officials are telling Cairo, look, it's very, very easy, too easy, to commit crimes inside of these tents. We're talking about sex crimes. We're talking about drug dealing. We're talking about things like that. And now Tacoma officials are going to try to go after it. Now, of course, at the same exact time, you've got a lot of people who are going to pretend that this is another instance of the war on the homeless. Stop criminalizing poverty. That's not what it is. They're trying to make it so that it's not easy to go ahead and commit criminal acts in our parks. Parks that are supposed to belong to the people who pay for them, like taxpayers. And right now, whether we're talking about Tacoma or Everett or Olympia or places all across the region, we are not allowed as taxpayers, as people who follow the rules, we are not allowed to visit these parks because they're being overrun by homeless people and in some cases, complete criminals. Now, they're still allowing, if they go through with this, canopies with open sides, so you're still able to provide yourself some cover. They just don't want tents in the middle of your parks. They're also on top of that, and this is where it gets a little ridiculous, they're also considering banning drones, e-scooters, and vaping. Because, oh my gosh, that means the end of the world if you're, oh my god, a drone being flied outside? What? That's for the living room. If the Metro Parks Board votes for the new rules, they end up getting forwarded to the city council for a final vote. I support certainly anything that makes it harder for criminals to use tents. Homeless criminals to use tents to do their bidding. These parks are for everybody. You should not feel uncomfortable taking your kids to a park. And unfortunately, that is a reality in way too many cities in this state, and something needs to be done. I don't care it's going to make some activists upset. They are always upset. They're literally always pissed off about something. So just add this to the list. What do you care? 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770 is an unbetter tax resolution hotline. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. We're live in the online Trading Academy studio. President Trump is currently holding a rally in Manchester, New Hampshire. We're going to dip in a little bit and see how it's going, keeping track. I'm told he is putting out some suggestions on what would be a new slogan for his campaign. So let's check in. Here's the president live in Manchester.
That's what it is. Before the election, our factories were closing. Hey, who knows it better than you? You're like central casting for the closing of factories. Our jobs were vanishing. Our military was totally depleted. When I took over, our military was sad. We weren't flying half of our planes. They were old. They were tired. Our equipment was tired. Our people weren't tired, though. Our people weren't tired. But everything we had, it was depleted. Now we've rebuilt our military like never before. And all made in the USA, just so you know. And our nation was weakened at home and disrespected abroad. They don't disrespect us anymore, folks. I got NATO to pay an extra $100 billion they weren't paying. They were delinquent. Many nations were, except for seven, many nations weren't paying what they were supposed to be paying. So we're supposed to protect them. They kill us on trade. They have all sorts of barriers and everything else. The taxes are really unfair. The tariffs were ridiculous, what they do to us in Europe. And then we protect them. Then they don't pay. And I say, I'm sorry, folks, you have to pay. You have to pay. They were delinquent. They were delinquent.
President live at a rally in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Fan is Secretary General Stoltenberg from NATO. He said until President Trump came along, we were going boom. They would have been finished very quickly. But I'm tired of paying for other nations anyway, I have to be honest with you. Right? And today our nation is stronger than ever before. We're now stronger than ever before. You saw we ended the Iran disaster. How about that? We paid them $150 billion, $1.8 billion in cash. Cash, cash, cash. We got nothing. And they also want to make a deal. China wants to make a deal. And I will tell you, Iran wants to make a deal because the sanctions are not good for them. They are not happy. So we'll see how it all turns out. But it's in good hands. It's in good hands. The United States right now has the hottest economy anywhere in the world. We're rebuilding that awesome might that we were just talking about. Our United States Armed Forces. America is working again. America is winning again. And America is respected again, respected like never before.
The president makes these comments about the economy as Democrats are warning that a recession is coming, and a lot of Republicans seem to think the Democrats are going to try to make that a reality much faster. There's the president again live in Manchester.
And you see it. You know, a recent poll came out where it showed that President Obama was more popular in Germany and other places than I am. And I said, of course he's more popular. He's not demanding that they pay for their protection that we provide. He's not doing that. I'm doing that. And in fact, if I was the most popular, I'm not doing my job right. Okay? So true. We've created over 6 million new jobs since the election. If I would have said that during the campaign, those people back there would have been headlines, headlines. More than 7 million Americans have been lifted off of food stamps. Since my election, the number of new businesses starting in the great state of New Hampshire has skyrocketed by almost 25%. And you can't really go by my election. You got to go by November 9th because, you know, the markets have gone through the roof since November 9th. That's the day after I won the election. So I won the election. The markets went up thousands of points. Things started happening. You started doing things that you would have never, even though I didn't get sworn in until January 20th. But they refused to do that. And let me tell you, if for some reason I wouldn't have won the election, these markets would have crashed. And that'll happen even more so in 2020. See, the bottom line is, I know you like me, and this room is a love fest, I know that. But you have no choice but to vote for me, because your 401ks, down the tubes, everything's going to be down the tubes. So whether you love me or hate me, you got to vote for me.
It's politically risky of the president to put so much on his performance in the economy if, again, historically, the economy is probably going to slow down rather significantly into the next few months. The president, again, live in Manchester, New Hampshire.
I had a businessman the other day, one of the most successful guys in the country. I've never liked him, never liked him. He never liked me, I never liked him. I see him in the White House. I said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm working to make sure you get elected. I said, you got to be kidding. You don't like me, I don't like you. What the hell is this all about? He said, that's right, we've had our differences. I haven't liked you. But to be honest with you, Mr. President, I have no choice. I said, you're right. You're right. First thing I've ever heard him say that I agreed with. He's got no choice. He got no choice. Unemployment in New Hampshire has reached the lowest rate in actually 31 years, but within a very short period of time, it will be the lowest rate in the history of our country.
So that's the president. He was speaking live, is speaking live in Manchester, New Hampshire at a presidential rally, campaign rally. The reason why we want to play and dip into these when they're happening is I've noticed that CNN and MSNBC are not covering them at all. They have decided that they're going to completely ignore the president's rallies because when he ran the first time, they gave him a lot of free airtime and people actually liked what they heard. And that's part of how he ended up becoming the president. MSNBC and CNN are not going to contribute in that way this time. So we're going to do our part in at least making sure you're hearing the message coming from his campaign. We'll be dipping in and out throughout the next hour or so, but we're going to move on when we come back. You've been listening to The Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH.